Greetings, and welcome back to Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley, and I'm the host of this podcast show. So, here's the deal. Every human on the planet has habits, and most of them serve us. But for many of us, some habits create problems. So I wonder, do any of these sound familiar? You feel worse about yourself on the inside than how you look on the outside. And those bad feelings just aren't going away. And of course, you try to stay in control. Who wouldn't? But in the process, you've gotten trapped in behaviors that maybe worked for a while, but eventually they've led to bigger problems for yourself or for others. And this could be anything from problems with food, smoking, alcohol, and other substance issues to activities like gambling or overspending or any number of ways of relating to yourself and others. Even like when trying to control yourself, you end up trying to control other people or situations. And about that control thing, it may be that your issue is that someone else in your life, like a spouse or your brother or your mom, a coworker, a roommate or a friend, someone you care about, and this person acts in ways that ends up creating problems for you. So their problem becomes, in a way, your problem. And if any of these examples are true for you, then Habits into Health is designed for you. But also, even if you've stopped your problem habit or being around that problem person, and somehow in your life it's not enough, you're still unhappy, and you can't figure out what's really going on about that, or if you've mastered your problem habit and you want to keep on top of your commitment, and you recognize that having a healthy fear will keep you from slipping back, well then, Habits into Health is for you. And the truth is that there's many paths to the top of the mountain, as they say. And if you've tried a few, from seeing a psychotherapist or going to self-help meetings, going to rehab, working with a life coach, or practicing meditation, and maybe things worked for a while or they didn't work at all, it may be just that you haven't found your personal path to change. Habits into Health is all about helping you find your way, the way that works for you. Now, the last few episodes, we've been on the topic of self-help support. Because a lot of people have expressed wariness to me about going to self-help groups, so I thought I'd do a series on that. Today, we're going to explore one question that can help you consider the options, and that is, how long have you been trying to turn around your problem habit without success? We'll look at whether self-help groups are a good option for you in dealing with the situation, and if so, ways that you can increase the likelihood that it will help. Before we go into content, though, what makes Habits into Health different from other habit change approaches is we literally start with you. The ground floor of your existence is you. So we start with orienting you experientially to new ways of connecting with yourself. On this show, we say, let your body lead so your mind doesn't have to, because in the wired world, there's so much focus about the mind and the idea that somehow if you think of something long enough or hard enough, it's going to create change. And that just simply isn't the case. So for just a few minutes in this program, you get to practice attuning to yourself through the body. And this is a practice that grows on itself. And that means the more you give to it, the more it gives back to you. It just so happens that entering yourself through experience helps you focus your mind as well. So let's start. You're listening probably because you're dealing with a habit that you'd like to say goodbye to, even if it's someone else's habit. And as you hear me say this, about this habit that you'd like to say goodbye to, this problem habit, where in your body do you experience yourself right now? You might tap into what you do when you're engaged in your habit. And if someone else's habit is a problem for you, just notice where you feel whatever you feel about this problem. So for instance, maybe you use your eyes in a particular way as a part of your habit. Or maybe your mouth is involved, or your hands, or your legs. I'll give you an example. Let's say that you are attracted to a particular kind of activity on the internet. Well, what do you have to do to go participate in this activity? You have to use something physical. And it's more than just thinking about it. So you have to turn on your computer or wake it up from being asleep, and you use your hands to do that. Or you have to use the keyboard in some way, and you're looking at something. Now, this would be true as well as if smoking is your problem. You know, if that's the issue, well, what do you use in yourself physically to smoke? Your hands are going to be involved for sure, aren't they? So just notice, as you consider your habit, where you feel whatever you feel. Eyes, mouth, hands, or legs. Those are common places where people say they experience things. Now, maybe you haven't ever considered how you use yourself to engage in your habit. This is really common, so it might be a new question for you. And so your answer might be, I don't know. You may not know at this time where you experience this. And that's okay. For now, though, just consider where this habit lives in you. Maybe you can feel a tension somewhere, or a hunger, like a yearning. Maybe you feel repelled or defeated or angry. Where do you experience this? Check in with yourself on a sensory level and notice what sensations stand out right now and where. I feel a heat in my chest. I can feel my hand clenching into a fist. I stiffen something in my jaw. You don't have to do anything at first, except just notice your physical experience. Because I can tell you, without that, you're going to have a harder time dealing with your problem habit. Now, I sometimes use the term geography because you are your own world. And tuning into where you are in your own world is an important source of knowledge that we tend to ignore in this wired world that we live in. And you may not notice anything in this moment, and perhaps maybe sometime later today, tomorrow, or over the next few days, you can give yourself a chance to be attentive to what's happening physically in you. Maybe when you're engaged in the habit that you'd like to say goodbye to. Or maybe when you're just sitting quietly and noticing what's happening physically, whether it's connected to a habit or not. Perhaps even as we continue with today's topic, you can notice where you are in yourself. How about that? First, a little station ID. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I started Habits Into Health as the online part of my practice as a holistic therapist. For almost 30 years, I've been helping people, especially women, shed the shame, the blame that they feel around addictions to substances, people, and activities. And along the way, I've learned that when you get down to basics, all habitual patterns have the same things in common. And I developed Habits Into Health programs to support you in understanding what habits are really about at this basic level, to help you free yourself from feeling so trapped. If you're ready to take a new approach to a problem, habit, or addiction, you can go to habitsintohealth.com and ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire to get you started. Recently, I've been exploring different things to consider around whether self-help groups are a good option for you in dealing with a problem habit. Let's review four main considerations, which I talked about in the episode called Are Self-Help Groups for You? You can go to habitsintohealth.com and look for self-help in the search box on the top right to find that episode and the other episodes in this series and other times that I've also talked about self-help as a consideration. So here they are. One, how long has your habit been a problem? And last episode, we explored that consideration. Second, which is what we're going to talk about today, how long have you been trying to turn around your problem habit without success? In the future, we'll go into the third consideration, how big have the consequences been around your problem habit? And the fourth, How many close personal friends do you have who don't do the same behavior as you, whether or not it's a problem for them? In my experience, habits can be problems long before we try to do anything about them. And the question here is, how long have you been trying to do something about your habit? If your problems have been around for more than a couple of years, and you've been trying to fix things for more than a year, even if you've succeeded for a while but ended up stuck again, then I'm pretty comfortable saying that getting yourself to a self-help group will be a positive experience for you. Now, getting into therapy or a therapy group will be a good choice too. But if you've been trying to deal with your problem habit for a while, it's possible that neither self-help groups or therapy are going to be enough by themselves. And your best choice could be both. If you've been dealing with your habit for more than 5 years, self-help groups could be enough, but not optimal, because there's a level of education and information that you'll get in an organized program that doesn't usually happen in self-help circles. So depending on your problem habit, you might be better served by going into some kind of specialized program. As for self-help groups, you could feel wary, like some of my clients who say, "I don't feel comfortable walking into a room full of strangers," or "I'm not like those people. I have different problems." And I can tell you from my own experience that it can be pretty daunting. You might be imagining the worst possible scenario that could happen for you. For instance, you'll stick out like a sore thumb, or you won't know what to say, or it means admitting that you're a mess and you haven't been able to fix this by yourself. Or even worse, you'll see someone there who you know from work or your neighborhood or some other part of your life. The thing is, there is at least one thing you have in common with practically everyone else who's done this before you. They've done this before you. That means most self-help groups are filled with people who have been where you are, have felt the same way or close, and understand what it's like. This is really important, because one of the biggest problems about problem habits is the isolation that it creates. A great deal of healing happens just from knowing that you really aren't the only one, that you aren't alone in your suffering. But also, one time or another, the people you'll meet were once newcomers themselves. So they actually know how to welcome you. And in many cases, you can call ahead to introduce yourself and make arrangements to talk with someone who will be there. Or you can find out if there's any special meetings just for newcomers like you. I'm going to share some things that I encourage my clients who feel really reluctant to go to self-help meetings to do. First, utilize online resources initially. You can familiarize yourself with the self-help group you're checking out. Why not take advantage of the online meetings or chat rooms that are available today? Second, when you're ready for an in-person meeting, find one that's not in your local neighborhood, in a nearby community if possible. That might make it a little bit easier for starters. Third, arrive after the meeting is scheduled to start and leave before it's scheduled to end. Some of my clients feel less nervous if they don't have to deal with any chit-chat before the meeting, worry about having to introduce themselves, or have to socialize after the meeting. So go a little late and you can slip in the back. Do this a couple of times until you're more comfortable. Fourth, even though you have something in common with others in the room, you're still uniquely you. So it's going to take a while, maybe up to 3 or 4 months or sometimes 6 months, to find your people. These will be maybe only 1 to 2 folks who have more in common with you than just the common problem habit that you're dealing with. And last, if you're really lucky, and I mean this, you'll actually see someone you already know when you come to a meeting. I can't tell you how many wonderful stories, and not a single disaster, from clients who have feared the worst and discovered that there's nothing like building a new level of a relationship that you already have with someone you already know. Someone who's been there and done that and can help you learn the ropes. So that's just a quick look at how to approach self-help support if you've been trying to master your habit without success. Next time, we'll explore the third consideration about self-help groups, which is how big have the consequences been around your problem habit. For now, it's time for me to sign off. If you are ready to take a new approach to a problem habit, come to habitsintohealth.com and ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire. Remember, to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You have been listening to Habits Into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I'm here to help you stop feeling out of control over your unhealthy habits and start creating a life where you feel just as powerful on the inside as you look on the outside. Thanks so much for joining me.